Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
U.S. soybean growers watching closely after President Trump announced he'll meet with China's President Xi in 4 weeks, with soybeans expected to top the agenda. News briefly lifted futures prices, but any U.S. export rebound faces steep competition after China booked record shipments from Brazil and Argentina in recent months. Chinese customs data shows soybean imports reaching 12.28 million metric tons in August, the largest volume on record for that month, with Brazil supplying the bulk. July imports also reaching a record high, driven by strong shipments from Brazil. Now, Argentina gaining ground as well. Chinese buyers securing 20 cargoes, roughly 1.3 million tons, after Buenos Aires suspended its export tax last month. Bookings from Argentina and Uruguay for the September through May export window already exceeding 2.4 million tons. By contrast, U.S. sales to China have stalled. No new crop bookings secured this fall amid ongoing tariffs. Cattle producers facing the destructive New World screwworm now have a new tool to protect their herds. Parasite causing severe infestations threatens livestock health and producer livelihoods, prompted the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to grant conditional approval of Dectomax CA1. The dormectin-based injectable prevents and treats screwworm larvae, providing 21 days of reinfestation protection while further effectiveness studies are completed. Conditional approval process allows immediate availability because screwworm poses a life-threatening risk and few treatment options exist. 2018 Farm Bill officially expired on September 30th. It leaves farmers, counties, and rural residents facing uncertainty as Congress works on a replacement. According to Owen Hart with the National Association of Counties, while core programs like crop insurance and Inflation Reduction Act conservation funds will continue, many smaller initiatives and rural development authorities have lost their legal footing. Counties rely on Farm Bill programs to support broadband, water infrastructure, and food assistance, he says, making the lapse a serious concern. Institute for Ag and Trade Policy warns that without reauthorization, dozens of programs serving farmers and communities, from the Conservation Reserve Program to rural cooperative development grants, are in jeopardy. Now, if Congress fails to act by January 1st, then the nation reverts to a permanent law from the 1930s, requires USDA to purchase commodities like dairy at outdated high prices, would drive up milk costs for consumers. Lawmakers considering a skidding farm bill to address the gaps, but without new legislation, local USDA offices and essential nutrition programs could face disruptions as early as the new year. And finally, farm real estate values across the Appalachian, Southeast Delta, and Southern Plains regions posting notable gains this year. In the Southeast, Florida cropland climbed to $8,150 per acre, up 3.9%. Georgia up 4.4%. North Carolina 7.8%. One of the stronger gains nationally. It's Agriculture Today.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Similar to what we're in now, it was preceded by a time of inflation.
Arlen Suderman with StoneX on what led to the farm crisis in the 80s.
And inflation in the late 1970s was very high, and a lot of assets were flowing into land, and land prices were rapidly rising. That was a time of less regulation in the banking industry. And so many farmers would be talking to their banker and mention that the piece of land across the road was up for sale, and the banker would say, why don't you buy it? And the farmer would say, well, I don't have enough money for a down payment. And the bank would say, well, we'll loan you the money for 100% of the value of the land because land prices are going up, so that won't be a problem. Well, that's not a problem until it is a problem. I mentioned the inflation during the late 1970s. Also, a piece of that driving land prices up is we had very good grain prices that had been precipitated by the great grain robbery of Russia coming in and buying up our supply of wheat and other commodities. So grain prices were good as part of that inflationary period as well. So the optimism in agriculture is high. People overextended themselves in borrowing to purchase those land because they thought land would continuously always go up. Well, then in the 1980s, everything came to a halt. We had the embargo over Afghanistan, no longer exporting to Russia. That's when Russia was a major importer rather than an exporter as it is now. And so grain prices collapsed. Land prices started to break. As those land prices broke, then farm loans were underwater, foreclosing on the land. More land got dumped onto the market. It just kept snowballing on itself. Farms were failing on a regular basis. And we'd overproduced grain because our export markets were hurting. Government was buying grain, but the markets wouldn't recover because the markets knew that as soon as prices recover, the government would dump more of that grain back onto the market. So it was a perpetual cycle that kept hurting agriculture.
What do farmers need to know?
About a year ago, it was actually a little over a year ago, in many of the regular media interviews that I did, as well as public presentations that I did, I warned that we were entering into the downturn in the ag cycle. Been in this business for about 45 years, and I've been through a number of these cycles, and they tend to last for several years, but we always come out of them. Cheap prices do generate demand to bring us out of it. But I said we need to change our philosophy. Farmers tend to market to trying to get the highest price that they possibly can, and kind of what we call in baseball terms, try to hit home runs. And I said, over the next year or two or three, we need to focus on base hits, learning your marketing strategies, work with somebody who is adept at marketing, just as you work with an agronomist to help you know what fertilizers or chemicals to use on your crops and what advice for agronomically you want. Work with someone who can help you learn the tools, know the tools that you use to make base hits in your marketing on basis improvement, taking advantage of the carry in the market with the deferred futures contracts, little things like that with the focus of making sure you're in business a year from now. You may be accepting prices that you don't like, but prices that will help make sure you're still in business a year from now. And I think that's the key. Now, farmers passed up some opportunities to do that over the last year that put them in a worse situation right now. There were prices that maybe they say wouldn't have given them a profit, but combined with the government checks, it may have done that. And so they passed that up because they didn't like the price. And they need to change the mindset to be defensive in their marketing rather than aggressive right now, because it's all about surviving until the cycle changes once again.
It's Agriculture Today.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
In today's tough farm economy, you need to make every dollar count. When choosing your cotton, consider West Texas varieties from Brownfield Seed and Delining. At only $125 a bag, these West Texas varieties are large seeded varieties that shoot out of the ground and have the yield potential that will have you smiling all the way to the gin. Think outside the box and boost your bottom line with cotton seed from Brownfield Seed and Delining. Call 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
So the third study was done with, again, a different study population.
David Renter is director of the Center for Outcomes Research and Epidemiology at Kansas State.
So these weren't high-risk animals. These were 700-pound, we called them medium risk, or the producer called them medium risk. Didn't expect quite as much BRD as what we would expect in high-risk animals. And so they didn't receive metaphylaxis, unlike the other two studies. So that was part of the driver of that third study is, okay, we looked at a couple populations after receiving metaphylaxis, what treatment to use. And this one, it was without metaphylaxis up front and a medium risk animal. How do these three treatment protocols compare to each other? They were very, very similar. The statistical answer would be that we didn't find any evidence for any significant differences in anything that any health outcomes that we looked at, whether they were retreated, whether they became chronic, whether they died, none of those things were statistically significant different amongst any of the three treatment groups.
The research on bovine respiratory disease.
I think these three studies illustrate what we've seen beyond these three studies, in that there have been, BRD is a big issue, so there have been a lot of different trials about what's the best treatment. And we don't always get a consistent answer, and that's what we found in these three studies. And part of that is we have a lot of variability in the type of cattle that we bring into a background or a feedlot situation. Some are high risk, some are not. Some are lightweight, some are yearlings. And so part of that is, you know, I think it's to strongly emphasize that you need to look at your cattle population. And again, these are prescription medications, so the producers need to work with their veterinarian. Legally, it's required, but also the veterinarian probably has access to some of these studies that we've done and others have done. And the answer to what's the best treatment is going to depend on their situation. The motivation for that second part of the presentation was basically around the question of, you know, if there's something that can reduce death loss, what does it cost and is it worth it from an economic standpoint? Now, there are other values in terms of animal welfare and things you need to consider. But we've asked that question for years, because we want to try to reduce death loss, but it's become even more of an issue economically now when calves are worth much more than they were even a year ago, let alone 5 years ago. And so the answer to does it pay to do X, Y, or Z has changed recently. It is variable, and there's a number of factors that come in. I already mentioned the price changes that we've seen over time of cattle. There's also, you know, what's the cost of the intervention, whether that's a drug or a feed additive, or if, you know, husbandry change that's going to cost something. But just like I mentioned a minute ago with the BRD study population issue, that comes into play here too, is if you can reduce death loss by a half, let's say, a half of what? That's where you need to consider on a case by case basis, you know, what are the type of cattle that you have and are expecting your death loss to be? Because cutting a big number in half leads to a big number. Cutting a really small number in half, not so much. That last part, the death loss evaluation cost effectiveness, is now on the Ag Manager website. And there's a spreadsheet calculator that somebody can work through and look at different scenarios. And there's also some instruction there on how to use it, and importantly, contact information for the people that built it. So if you need help, you can get a hold of them.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
October 1st marks the beginning of the new fiscal year, and we're in a government shutdown, a partial government shutdown, we should say.
Arlen Suderman is with StoneX.
All essential services will continue. That means any federal security forces, police forces, law enforcement action should continue to go forward. We should also see payments for Social Security, Medicare, veterans benefits continue as well. Some nutrition programs could quickly run out of funding. That's a concern going forward. But overall, most shutdowns do not last very long at all. The longest of which in recent history was in December of 2018, when the government shut down for 35 days. Now, you're seeing a lot of gloom and doom stories in the media about how bad this is going to be for the economy. Don't be fooled by those. That 35-day shutdown in December of 2018, it stretched into January 2019, cost the economy, yes, $3 billion. That is 0.02% of GDP at the time. So that's a very small impact on the economy. Now, the broader markets, therefore, really don't care about these government shutdowns as until they get long enough or significant enough that you have federal workers not spending money that starts to become a drag on the economy. And so we saw early signs of that in the 2018-19 shutdown, but nothing significant. So don't expect a big pull down in the markets just because of this. It's a little different story, though, from the standpoint that the markets are drifting a little bit in a fog. That's because many of the government reports that the markets depend on for data aren't released during the shutdown. Many of the workers have been sent home, have been furloughed if they're considered non-essential. Well, that varies by department of what's considered non-essential. USDA, for example, their recently released plan for a potential shutdown included 42,000 USDA workers who would be furloughed and sent home. That's a lot of workers. Included in that would be NAS surveyors who would be going out into the fields today and surveying fields, sampling fields, weighing samples of corn ears and soybean pods, et cetera, and determining yield for the October WASDE crop report. That's not happening today. Now, if in fact the shutdown only lasts a day or two, then we anticipate that everything will go on schedule as far as the WASDE report. But if it lasts several, 3, 4, 5 days, then we could see the report delayed, or if it goes longer than that, actually canceled. And that's what happened in October of 2013 when the October report was actually canceled. That's a critical time for the markets because we're counting on that data from USDA to really determine the size of the crops.
Speaking of crop size, StoneX trimming its forecast for 2025 corn yields while lifting its expectations for soybeans, reflecting shifting assessments of crop potential and planted acreage. StoneX now projects average corn yield 185.9 bushels per acre, down one bushel from their September report, but due to a higher acreage base, total corn production estimate now 16.7 billion bushels. For soybeans, yields 53.9, yield 4.3 billion bushels.
Also, USDA needs to implement into its WASDE supply and demand balance sheets the surprises in yesterday's small grain summary report and quarterly stocks reports and put that into their balance sheets. That could have significant market implications. So until then, the market's only able to kind of guess how USDA may do that and lean on private estimates.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
Today I'd like to visit with our dairy producers concerning a recent report that was published by the Economic Research Service of USDA.
Kansas State Dairy Specialist, Dr. Mike Brook.
Number one, milk production has been projected to increase, and now we're expecting to produce about 230 billion pounds here in the U.S. in 2025, and that is up from 226 billion in 2024. This is about a 1.7% increase, which if you look at recent years in our dairy industry, we have often increased milk production by a percent to maybe upwards to 2% each year. So that would not be something out of the realm of possibilities, particularly considering that cow numbers are shown to be increasing at the current time. And also the production per cow has been increasing in 2025. These two factors add to the increase in the projection for total milk production for 2025. There are some issues that come with that as a result of the increase in milk production in 2025. There was some adjustments to the forecast for the all milk price. For 2025, it's forecast at $21.35 for the year. And looking forward to 2026, it's forecast at $20.40 a hundredweight. If you compare that to our all milk price in 2024 of $22.60, both of those numbers are somewhat less and have an impact on our profitability. One of the things that is helping our overall margins and profitability in the dairy industry is the fact that feed prices are lower and are projected to be lower throughout the rest of 2025 as well as into 2026. So we'll have to see how harvest goes, and if feed prices stay down, we may actually see a slight increase in our margin. However, coming through the summer, we actually did not see that happen. Coming into July with lower feed cost, we did see an increase in our rate of margin in the dairy industry slightly, but a positive move for us in the industry. As we look at cow numbers, why are cow numbers going up? Everybody knows we have a shortage of heifers in the system, but it seems as though our dairy farmers have reduced their culling rates, so we're keeping some animals around maybe a little longer than what we have in the past, and that's allowing us to grow our total cow herd slightly. Again, the number of heifers in the system will keep that growth rate fairly small as we move into 2026. I would look for additional heifers maybe to be available in 2027 as we are switching around some of our breeding programs on some of our farms to produce more heifers to make up for the shortage that we're currently going through. So there may be some increase in milk production as we look into 2027, possibly 2028, due to increased animal numbers. Also, with lower feed cost, I do expect that dairy producers will continue to improve the nutrition on their dairy farm as they have cash to do that out of the increase in milk production resulting in an increase on on-farm income. And if we see an increase in the margins on dairies due to lower feed cost and maintaining a higher milk price, then I would expect that producers will be more willing to spend a little more on feed and reduce some of their cost savings that they might be currently utilizing now in order to maintain margin.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Demet, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
This is Agriculture Today.
Now, some government reports will still be coming out.
Arlen Suderman with StoneX.
For example, the Energy Information Administration has a note on their website that they're going to continue to release reports as long as they are able to do so. USDA has today's scheduled reports still on the calendar. They have no notice of cancellation. We just know in the past that hasn't happened. Also in the past, we know that USDA has not released export sales reports. And indeed, the Foreign Ag Service is on the furlough list. And FGIS also, although inspections are still happening. And so we will see if we can pull the FGIS data as we normally do. And in the past have been able to do that to give some indication of actual export inspections going on. Although USDA typically does not release their official USDA export inspections reports. And so as we go forward, we're going to be lacking a lot of information. The USDA flash sales reports. That we get on a daily basis of recently of big corn sales, for example. That allows a buyer to come in and buy up a lot of supplies and the market doesn't know it. Kind of reminiscent of what we saw in the 1970s when we had the great grain robbery where Russia came in and bought up our supplies of wheat without us knowing it. And that's what resulted in legislation requiring these daily flash reports and the weekly export sales reports and the weekly export inspections reports. Those simply aren't going to be available, aren't expected to be available. So we'll be flying there a little bit in the blind until we get those reports back and USDA catches us up on the data. Also labor reports. Will we get a weekly jobless report on Thursday? Will we get the monthly jobs report on Friday that is scheduled? Right now we're anticipating that we won't, but let's see what the Trump administration, if they consider that essential. So far there's no word on their website on whether that will happen or not. So we go forward with a partial shutdown. Yesterday's surprise reports from USDA come in with a wheat crop that was 60 million bushels above what was anticipated, therefore giving us larger stocks than anticipated, and we saw the wheat market then go down to new lows in order to try to uncover enough demand to get rid of those extra bushels. We saw corn stocks for September 1, which become the beginning stocks of the new marketing year, which started on September 1st, coming in about 200 million, 195 million bushels larger than anticipated. USDA did increase the size of last year's corn crop by 25 million bushels, but in all likelihood, this surprise, when you look at the last several quarterly stocks reports put together, it would suggest, if anything, perhaps last year's crop may have been about 200 million bushels larger than what it reported. Maybe we should have had a larger adjustment to last year's crop, but USDA doesn't like to do that. So instead, the only thing it can do really is reduce feed and residual use. That means for the old crop year, lower feed use. Well, then how can you add several hundred million bushels of demand to the new marketing year in feed use when we're actually looking at smaller livestock numbers? And so that creates a problem for USDA on feed usage for the new marketing year. And I anticipate it's hoping that the corn yields are going to be coming down to give it the cover to lower the feed usage number as well going forward. Overall, we do anticipate that this corn crop is getting smaller. The question is, by how much?
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.